the Mishnah that we're in was talking about what we learned from the Pasuk, Alpi, either Alpi Shnayim Edim O Shlosha Edim Yumas Hames, or we noted last time the Vilna Gaon says that that's not the right Pasuk you should be bringing, because that's the Pasuk regarding Avodah Zarah, and our context is a discussion of Edim Zomimin. So he uses the Pasuk of Alpi Shnei Edim or Alpi Shlosha Edim Yakum Davar. Either way, it's the fact that when we describe the set of Edim, we mention two and three, which is strange, because the set of Edim is two. That's all it is. So what's with mentioning the third here? So the Tanakhama said the answer is that it's meant to make Hazama easier, to say that just like three Edim can make two witnesses into Edim Zomimin, so too, two Edim can make three into Edim Zomimin. You don't need to have the Mazimin, the people who make the other Zomimin, they don't have to outnumber the people, or match even, the people who they are turning into Edim Zomimin. That was the Tanakhama's view. Yeah, there's no such thing as leniency or stringency, because you're lenient for one, stringent for the other. But this is worse for the witnesses who are becoming Zomimin. Rabbi Shimon said, no, it makes Hazama harder. Just like we say that two Edim would not be killed as Edim Zomimin unless both of them are guilty, the same is true for a set of three. We're only going to kill any of them if the full set is guilty. Even if one of them is not an Eid Zomim, they get to go free. And we said, even if it's 100 of them, that's the way it's going to work. I mean, they may get Malkos or something, but we're not going to punish them fully. Rabbi Akiva said, actually, this is not about changing Hazama at all. It's not about what we do for Hazama. What it does do is it changes the penalty for the third man in. That's really what this is about. And we had a discussion of what Rabbi Akiva thinks about Rabbi Shimon's view. Is he disagreeing with Rabbi Shimon, or is he not disagreeing with Rabbi Shimon? But and we talked about what Rabbi Shimon will think of Rabbi Akiva's point of view. What Rabbi Akiva said was, is that the third witness is punished, even though he wasn't a necessary part of the testimony. Which I assumed at first meant you had three people who came and testified. The first two became Zomimin. The third one did not become a Zomim. And yet, I'm sorry, the third one became a Zomim also, but he wasn't really necessary to the case. I would have assumed, let him off, he wasn't really core anyway. And we're telling you that that's not so. However, that wasn't the language of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said, we're punishing him even though he is nitfal la'ovrei avera, even though he just joined people who are sinning, which seems to indicate that he didn't actually do anything wrong. He did nothing wrong. And so what we saw in the Mefarshim that we saw last time on the Mishnah, we saw the Nemuke Yosef who said that what it means is even where he did not become an Eid Zomim at all, he's still going to get punished. Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shteino, right? You joined in with these people who are bad people. That's good enough. We're going to punish you also. Even though he's not like he's kicking and screaming, he's saying, but nobody came along and said Imanu Hayisem. Who, me? Doesn't matter. You joined with these other guys. That's your problem. That's the Nemuke Yosef's position. The other approach that we brought was the Ritva. And the Ritva said it wasn't that he was never found to be an Eid Zomim, but he wasn't really part of this set. The other people testified. And then sometime later, not Tol Kedei Dibur, not within a few seconds, sometime later, he showed up and he offered his testimony. That's good enough for us to zap him. That's the idea. So he's someone who joined people who were sinning. He wasn't actually part of their set in any halachically legitimate way.
How do we know his testimony is not good?
Because in this version of it, witnesses did come along and say, you were with us when you say that happened. It's just that he really should be viewed as a lone witness, not as part of the
set. But in the case where only two of them were actually zoning, so you had a cut of three. Two of them were zoning, the third one was not.
Yeah.
We don't accept.
So the first three that we saw, the Ritz Gaius was the one who was quoted saying, nope, we're going to kill him too.
We're going to kill him too.
Yeah.
Okay, but according to the other shot, where the whole cot falls away,
yeah,
then what happens to...
What do you mean the whole cot falls away?
In other words, if...
In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, who said that where you don't have the full group becomes Zomim. Yeah.
That, right, and then
Then it's not true.
Then it's not true. What happens to the person that was standing trial?
The person standing trial right now has nobody against him. He has no witnesses against him. He's going to walk away.
So he goes free.
He's going to go free until we can find a kosher set of witnesses, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's where we had left off. But we're still in the Mishnah because there's an added statement which may be Rabbi Akiva talking. And that's where the Ritva's position. The Ritva says the next line is also Rabbi Akiva speaking, offering a new idea. The Marshal says it's actually an extension of his point. It's not even a new thought. It's an extension of his point about the third being a core part of the set. This is the line. So now let's see how I can manage it without the reading glasses. We'll see how we go. The first name was Rabbi Akiva, and then we are... We're one line up from the bottom. Umashnayim nimtza echabian karov opasul edusin betela. This is a rule that isn't about Edim Zelmanin anymore. This is about two witnesses came along, they testified, and one of them then turned out to be related to the people in this Din Torah. Or one of them turned out to be disqualified. He's a gambler, he's whatever it is. So we disqualified him. The rule is that the entire set is no good. So af shlosha, so too if there were three, nimtza echaman karo pasule dusin betela, if one of them turns out to be no good, the whole set is no good. That's the statement. Just like with Adam Zoman, we were willing to say they're all a set, two, three doesn't make a difference, up to 100 doesn't matter, and beyond 100. So too when it comes to disqualifying the set based on one of them being no good, the whole set goes if one of them goes. That's the rule. I mean, nayin afilu meya. How do I know even if it's 100 of them? Tamalomar edim. That's the word edim. Top of vav hamad aleph. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says not so fast, and this becomes a fascinating point. Rabbi Yossi says bamed devarim amurim. When is this true that the whole set goes if one of them goes? Only bedine nefashos, only in a capital case. Avo bedine mamanos tiskayim ha'edos bishar. But if you're dealing with dine mamanos, then no, the rest of the set can still be valid. So if you had three witnesses, one of them turns out to be a karov, right? Imagine there's a loan case. Okay, Ira brings me to Beis Din and says I lent Torchiner money. That's his claim, and I am denying it. I'm admitting part of it. Whatever it is. He shows up with three witnesses to the loan. One of them gets thrown out because he happens to be Ira's long-lost brother. You never heard of him. But he showed up. Turned out he was your brother. We got rid of him. However, Ira says, look, I got two more left. We're saying right here, the first view, the view of Rabbi Akiva is, doesn't matter, the whole set's gone. Rabbi Yossi says, no, this is Dine Mamanos. This is a financial topic. In a financial case... This guy made us bishar. We keep the rest of this group intact. Now, why would I distinguish between dine mamanos and dine nefashos? Why would I draw that distinction?
Because you're supposed to do everything you can to see.
Right. So see both Eitan and Ira channel Rashi. If you take a look at Rashi, the top Rashi in the Amud, bedine nefashos, dichsiv, because the pasuk says vihitzilu ha'eda. The Torah says at the end of Sefer Bamidbar that the judges are supposed to try to save the Rotzeach. Now, in context, if you actually open up the end of Sefer Bamidbar, you find we're talking about your Miklat and the accidental murderer, and it doesn't seem on the face of it to have anything to do with Dine Nefashos as a general rule. Nonetheless, this is a classic line in the Gemara that there is actually a mandate for the judges to try to find the defendant innocent. That is their mandate. So Rashi says, that's why Rabbi Yossi says, on a capital case, if one witness is no good, we'll throw out the entire set, because we're looking for any excuse to throw out the set. But in a financial case, we have no such mandate. There's no such thing as Bitzilu Ha'eda on financial cases, because, just like I said before, regarding Edim Zelmanin, if you're lenient for one, you're hurting the other. You say, I'm going to be a very righteous judge, and I'm going to try to save the defendant in a financial case. The plaintiff is going to be very annoyed with you, right? And vice versa. It doesn't work that way. So there's no concept of, let me err on the side of helping somebody. That's Rashi's explanation of what's going on. Clear? Tosfos Omar, says, no, that actually doesn't work. It's the top Tosfos Omar. There are two Tosfos Omars here. So he objects. Tosas points out that we have a principle called Mishpat Echad Yelachem. The Torah says you are supposed to have one set of rules for all people. And based on that, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin in Perek Daled says that rules that apply in dealing capital cases apply also in dealing with financial cases. The classic example, the example there in the Mishnah, is what's called Drisha V'Chakira. What is Drisha V'Chakira?
Interrogation.
Right, investigation. Let's say interrogation. Investigation.
It's almost like they make the witness like the criminal.
So that's in the capital case. Yeah, but the Mishnah there says, really, we should require the same type of investigation of the witnesses that we do on capital cases for financial cases as well. We should really go to town on them. However, we don't do it. And the reason we don't do it is because everybody would stop lending money to anybody else. If they knew that in order to claim the debt, if this guy gives them any trouble, they're going to go to Beis Din and their witnesses are going to be interrogated 20 different ways, they're going to say, well, I don't need this. Why should I bother getting involved? And remember that the Torah views lending money as tzedakah. They want to encourage it. They don't want to create obstacles. But letter of the law, Mishpat Echad, says the rules of capital cases apply in financial cases as well. So Tosfo says, if you're telling me that in a capital case you have an imperative to save the defendant, that really should apply in the financial case as well. We should really apply that here. So Tosfo says that's not what's going on. That's not the story. So Tosfos, that top Tosfos Amar. Well, that was my argument before, is that there's somebody on both sides. But Tosfos says that's not the deal. He says, I'll explain to you what the story is. And let me see if I can do it. That's a little harder. Yeah. Well, he asks the question of Perushot. You see that on the third line. You see his question. So the second thin line in Tosfos Amar. Lekach Pirej Ri. So he quotes the Ri, Rashi's grandson, to say, "Dibedine nefashos shayach." I really can never need the glasses. Shayach shapir lemelof mishnah. You know what? I'm just going to say it outside.
Why don't you use the bigger gemara?
Okay,
I'll use your gemara.
No, that's all right. It's all right. I'll say it outside. It's all right. It's good. The notes aren't the issue. I can't read my notes either. But I couldn't read the notes with the glasses. But it's okay. Thank you. Tosas argues here that it doesn't make sense to say what Rashi said because Mishpat Echad. So therefore, Tosas says, I'll tell you why. We have a rule in financial matters. Forget the two witnesses. One witness shows up in Beis Din. Okay? Ira's claiming Torchino borrowed money from him. Okay? That's the case. Ira says Torchino borrowed money from him. I'm denying it. The rule normally is, if I deny the debt fully, kofar bakol, I walk away. Nothing happens. However, Ira brings one witness who testifies to the loan. He doesn't have two, but he has one. What's the rule? Sure. I have to swear now. His one witness is enough to make me swear. That's the rule. So Tosfo says, since if you knocked out one of the witnesses, the other witness who remains is still able to demand a shavua. That's how you know that a single aide still has a role to play. And therefore, when you have a set of witnesses and one is no good, okay, but the rest of them are still good because one witness does still have standing. That's what Tosfos says, as opposed to in a capital case where there's no such thing. There's no shvu in a capital case. So Tosfos says it doesn't apply there. Everybody here is nodding their head yes, like this makes sense.
Is it still the premise that you're trying to do everything in their power to make it the cases go, though?
Meaning so, no, separate from that. Separate from the idea of we're trying to save the defendant. Tosfos just says the reason why Rabbi Yossi says that capital cases and financial cases are different in this regard, regarding what happens if part of the set goes bad, the reason why is because in financial cases, we have a meaningful single witness. In capital cases, you don't have a meaningful single witness.
But what if two of them were found? Carver Apostle.
There's a bigger problem here.
Well, Shua is a big
the Pnei Yoshua says, I don't understand what you just did. The Pnei Yoshua says, that was exactly the debate that Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi were having. The whole starting point for this discussion was, what happens if one of them goes bad? It's circular. You just proved that one witness should stand alone because you believe that there is legitimacy to one witness. But the other side didn't believe there was legitimacy to one witness. The case that you brought your proof from is a case in which you assign legitimacy to one witness. He's going to say, no, I throw out your proof also. That's Bnei Yeshua's objection. I brought it on the... No, I did not bring it on the sheet. That's not true. But that's what Bnei Yeshua says. Bnei Yeshua says, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. And in fact, he brings you... This is what I did bring on the sheet. He brings you the Rush, quoting a tshuva of the Rif in Source Aleph. Kasav Rav Alf is al b'tshuva. Dishnayim achasumen al ashtar. The Rif wrote in a tshuva that if you have two witnesses signed on a document, v'nimtza echamein karov, one of them turns out to be related to one of the parties, v'asheni rachok, and the other one is not, he's not a relative. V'zachur ha'edus, and he knows the testimony, u'shneim bo lahayid, and they both come to testify. The ela shalohay yodea b'kurvaso, but the witness who was kosher didn't know that the other guy was a relative. V'hichshirei du social sheni, and he supported the testimony of the second guy. V'chivo shvua al piv, and on that basis they said, we are going to require a shvua. U'bevach lo yirag yibo, as long as you don't make a habit of this. The guy who was kosher, we're going to accept him. She'ev shahu shalo yada b'kurvaso, because it's possible he really didn't know. So we believe him. We're going to trust him. I'm going to leave the end of the riff out because it's relevant to the Gemara further along. But the point is that the position of the Rush is to follow Rebbe, to say that when you're dealing with Mamanos, there really would be no Chiv Shvua from the remaining aid. Over here, he didn't know about the other guy, so he didn't know. So fine, then we're going to do it, but otherwise not. So now, again, I want to make sure that we're being clear in trying to understand this, because the rest of the day we're just going to do straight Gemara. But this is something that's fascinating, what Reb Chaim is going to do with this. Again, we have machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe Yossi says, we're going to distinguish between capital and financial. Rebbe Yossi is going to say that in a capital case, one is bad, the whole set is bad. Financial case, that's not true. Why should I distinguish? What's Rabbi Yossi's logic? Rashi thought Rabbi Yossi's logic is because we want to save the defendant in a capital case. Tosfos says if that's true in a capital case, it's true in a financial case also. Don't bring me that as your distinction. Tosfos says, I'll tell you what the distinction is. The distinction is that in financial matters, if one of them turns out to be a karov, the remaining aid still has a role to play. That's what shows you that there really is a separate standing to that single aid, which the Bnei Yeshua did not like. He said that in of itself was part of the machlokas. But here comes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in Chidushei Hagrach, and he has a whole different way to explain this. I'll say it first outside, and then get us into where what Rav Chaim says. Here's the question. If you expect Rabbi Yossi to use Mishpat Echad, right? Like Tosva says, if you expect Rabbi Yossi to use Mishpat Echad to carry to Mamanos the need to save the defendant and knock out the set, right? If you saying, like Tosva said, that Rabbi Yossi should use Mishpat Echad Yiyalachem to teach that just like we save the defendant in a capital case, so too we save in the financial case, in the financial one, and therefore, just like we knock out the whole set based on one witness in the capital case, so too we do it in the financial case. Tell me, why wouldn't he also use Mishpat Echad regarding the Chiyuv Shavua to say that just like in a capital case, we throw him out entirely, and the one witness cannot mandate anything, so too in the financial case, you can't mandate anything. So Tosfos theorizes.
I don't understand the question. And if he doesn't pay, you kill him? That would be a weird...
Sorry,
go ahead.
I don't understand the question.
The question is, why is it that you're telling me that Mishpat Echad is meaningful as a bridge from capital cases to financial cases in terms of saying we have to save the defendant, but you're not saying it's a bridge in terms of saying that just like in the capital case, one witness is bad, we throw out the entire set, So to a financial case, one witness is bad, you throw out the entire set, and there is no chiyuv shvua.
He gave the answer already.
Yeah.
He said nobody would lend any money. If you could just have, if you just eliminate, knock off both witnesses.
So that's an innovative idea.
No, but I'm the saying, like, never... it's a lot harder to win.
Right. The problem is that the Gemara never invokes that principle regarding this issue.
Okay.
So the Grach, Rav Chaim, has this whole other idea, which is fascinating. So I brought you this whole long piece in Beis, but we're not going to see it inside because I want to make sure to get through more Gemara. But I'll say it to you outside, and you can look at it inside. He says, when two witnesses testify, this is classic Brisker Torah, when two witnesses testify together, right, how do I view the set? Is the set an entity that was created by the two of them working together? The two of them testify together, and that creates this magic thing called a set of witnesses who can do cool things within the Torah system. Or do we say one witness is creating half of the set, and the other witness is creating half of the set? It's parallel play. You have the two of them are doing their own thing, and it happens to be that cumulatively we end up with a useful set.
Half.
Sorry?
I'm saying half.
You're saying... I don't understand what you're saying.
He's picking
He's
one.
Saying the second one.
Okay. So Rav Chaim says, it depends on whether you're dealing with capital cases or financial cases. He says that what Tosfos is thinking here is that in capital cases, the two witnesses are combining to create something. And therefore, you knock out one, you knocked out the other. It's the whole thing falls apart because it's a composite. Whereas in a financial case, each aide is actually contributing separate testimony, which is why, even if you only have one of them, he could still mandate a shvua, because he stands on his own. It's two separate pillars. You took away one, okay, so I don't have a set anymore, but I still have the other one. As opposed to capital cases, they're fused together. There's no such thing as leaving one intact. Once one of them is shot, the whole thing falls apart.
What if in that case, if an aide comes and then he's a single aide, the guy makes a shavua, and then another aide comes after the fact, would he just make another shavua, or then at that point they'd be two aides?
So that's going to be part of our Gemara about what makes two people a set. And we're going to see they have to witness the event together. They can't just become a set otherwise.
And I was going to ask also, just talking about how the Gemara has been talking about aidim as a group, like, that means that they come to the court together and said, we were together and we saw this
right.
Together, or
so,
did they come separately?
Right, so that's part of what we need to discuss. Right.
And can Mason choose to separate them? Otherwise, well, can you just take two and then leave the other two just in case?
To me, it made more sense that Mason would throw out all of them if they all came together as one entity.
Right.
And said, okay, we were there together. But if it came separately, you know,
right.
They didn't see each other. I don't know, maybe...
So we'll see. We have to talk about what they saw.
If it was a mishpat echad situation that you have to apply the same across the board, then how could you have anybody who happened to see the moon just come to Beis Din on their own? They mitzdarich their testimony.
Right. So it is a chodesh.
You're applying across the board. You're applying across the board.
Right.
Mishpat echad.
Right. So no, mishpat echad is used specifically dina nefashos dina mamonos. The whole concept of edus for kiddush hachodesh is a different bria. It's a different entity. You don't translate back and forth. There are a lot of rules which are different for Eidos HaChodesh. There are things that are the same because it's a function of a Beis Din, but it's not.
So, I
understand, but Mishpat Echad is only for for Nefashos and Mamonos. Okay. So now let's see. Now let's see the Gemara. Actually, did we finish, Rabbi?
We didn't read it outside.
Sorry.
Oh, I don't think we read it.
I said it outside. Yeah. So Rabbi Omer, Rabbi's view is Echad Dine Mamonos veEchad Dine Nefashos. He says the same rule applies for Mamonos and Nefashos. This is what I said. I said it's a machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi. So here's Rabbi. He says the rule applies for Mamonos and Nefashos. If part of the set goes bad, the whole set is thrown out. Ve'emasai, when? Bizman shehisru bahen. Assuming that they actually warned the defendant. What makes them a set, going back to Kobe's question, is the fact that they issued the warning to the defendant, you know, if you do X, such and such is going to happen. Avol bezman shelo hisru bohen, but if they didn't issue a warning, mayasu shnei achin sho be'achat shaharages hanefesh, what will happen if two brothers witness a murder? What he means by that is the classic baseball game case, right? You go to the baseball game, and in the middle of the game, it's in the fifth inning, the pitcher messes up. He's too slow on the pitch clock, and the center fielder is really annoyed because they're going to lose the game. And he pulls out his gun and he shoots the pitcher. Now, 20,000 people saw this, right? 20,000 people are watching this game, and they saw this, including any number of families who are sitting there watching, and they're all related to each other. Are you going to disqualify all 20,000 witnesses because some of them are related to each other? Mm-hmm. So Rebbe says no. Rebbe says the rule is they both have to, but in order to be part of the set, you have to have been part of giving the warning to the criminal of, you know, if you do this, such and such. It's not really going to be about the warning, as we're going to see, but that's what we're establishing. There has to be some level of intent
as part of this. And that warning would then need one witness to the guy giving the warning?
So, we don't need witnesses to the warning. The witnesses are the ones who are doing the warning, so that already covers us.
Okay. So you're saying as long as the related people in the stands didn't issue the warning.
Correct. If they did, we have
a
problem.
They all yelled out, don't shoot.
Don't shoot. If you shoot, you're getting whatever. Yeah.
Don't shoot, you'll be over the pasuk in the Torah that says...
Right, this doesn't happen often.
You have to say the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
Rebbe is the Tanakh. He's clarifying you read the first line before.
Don't shoot because you're going to be...
So Amar Rava. Rava goes back to this idea of combining witnesses as a set. The whole issue of combining witnesses as a set. So Rava says, "V'hu she'i'idu kulam b'soch k'dei dibur." The only way that we consider all these witnesses to be one set for this whole discussion, when you say two witnesses, three witnesses, everything you said in the Mishnah, is if they testify within literally the span of speech of each other. We're going to define it in a moment. So, Amar le Rav Achmi Difti le Ravina. Rav Achmi Difti says to Ravina, Michti tol kedei dibor hechidami. He says, wait a minute. What exactly is tol kedei dibor? Kedei she'elas talmid le Rav. It is the amount of time, the length of time it takes for the Talmud to ask the Rebbe, how are you? Right? Or to greet him and say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Right? Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. To greet him with a statement of respect. It's a couple of seconds. He says, Mea Tuvahavu. How in the world do you end up with 100 witnesses who are all part of the same set? They're not all talking to the Beis Din at the same time. So Amarlei, so he says, no, that's not what's necessary. Kochad v'chad besok de dibur shel chavero. The story is that each one is within a few seconds of the other. So the first one testified, then the second one testified, then the third one testified. That's the way it works in Beis Din. That's what makes them constitute a single set. When we say 100 Edim is a set, that's what has to happen.
But they may not even know each other before, except for the fact that they're testifying at the same time.
So we still have to go there.
Right.
In terms of this, did they see each other? Did they not see each other? That's all part of the Gemara that's coming up. Okay. So Rabbi Akiva, back in our Mishnah, right, came along and he said, Lobashlishi Lahakel Elahmer Allah Balasos Dino Kayotse Boelu. Rabbi Akiva said, the role of Shlishi in the Pasuk, Apishlosha, is to say that the third one is going to get zapped along with the other two. That was his statement. So and then the Mishnah went further along, and Rebbe said, this is really about the Rebbe part of the Mishnah. Rebbe said that a set is disqualified by a single disqualified member. Forget Im Zomen, a regular disqualification, but only if the member testified, right? The implication of Rebbe saying that is that Rebbe Yossi disagrees with him. That Rebbe Yossi will say no, even without him having warned the guy. We're still going to throw you out. We're still going to throw out the entire set. So Amalei Rav Papa La Abaye, Rav Papa says to Abaye, Ela Me'ata Harug Yatzil. He said, if you really believe that if you're going to take the view of Rabbi Yossi, that even without having given the warning, nonetheless, that's going to, you constitute a witness to disqualify the set, then a person who was murdered is able to actually save the murderer. Now, first of all, there was a movie years ago. I don't remember the name of the movie. I never saw the movie, but I heard about it. there was a movie which begins with somebody saying that somebody killed me or something, and it was like a poison case or something.
This is like
Shawshank Redemption.
No.
Shawshank. We've all seen Shawshank Redemption.
No.
The rabbi saying what?
No, I haven't. They,
the rabbi doesn't watch movies.
No.
A movie for Pesach by Redemption. I'm not macabre.
It is. Yeah. Wait, somebody's starting that
one. There was a movie that started. I don't remember what movie this was. Somebody listening to the recording will tell me. There was a movie which started with somebody wanting to report their own murder.
Oh, Carlito's Way.
With
what?
Carlito's Way.
No. Yeah.
Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Doesn't he say?
No.
I'm not gonna ruin
it. I want to think. I want to say it was called DOA. Could that be?
No, I can report.
Well, you can, and that's our case. You can, in the event that it's poisoning. It's a poisoning. The person knows they've been poisoned. I don't know if that was the plot of the movie. The plot of the movie was probably more clever than that, but like time travel, I don't know. You'll find it. Look up the plot for DOA.
There's a movie where a guy gets shot at the end.
He told us the ending anyway. So,
yeah, it's true. It is. Here we go.
What is it?
DOA.
Film noir released in 1950.
That's for sure.
Released in when?
1950.
Huh. When I was young.
No, there was wasn't there a remake?
It's the last time you saw a movie.
Anyway, so the point is that the case we're talking about is where a guy was somehow acted upon by somebody else, but he is still alive. He isn't dead yet. And the point is, if you're going to tell me you don't need intention to be a witness, then the victim is himself part of the set of witnesses. He is disqualified to testify, and therefore the whole set gets thrown out.
We have to assume he's still alive?
Otherwise he can't testify.
I thought the Gemara was saying that he's, if you automatically consider him part of the, if he's a witness, then even at the time of his
right, murder, no. The assumption is that he's actually alive at this point. It comes up in the discussion. Okay. So the
a court case, but he's still alive.
Yes, he is alive at this point when he is presenting testimony. Yes, that this person did this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He attacked the guy and then he dies later on. It's the murder later on.
So our problem is, if you're telling me, if your position, Rabbi Yossi, is that he doesn't need intent to be an aide, well, in that case, I have news for you. We can never execute the murderer. So the answer is no. Kishahar go me'achorov. The answer is that the murderer killed him from behind. So therefore, he never saw him. So therefore, he wouldn't be able to function as a witness. Now, before we see the next case, why is this guy no good as an aide? Why is this fellow no good as an aide?
He's about to die.
No, but why is he no good as an aide?
He didn't see the person's face.
So Rashi says the reason why he's no good as an aide, if you take a look at, where was it? I have to be able to see it. There we go. Harug Yatzil. L'Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, Da'amar Apollo Hisru, right? Shloniskavi Lahaid, Umatzil Zanid, etc. He says the issue is Vahu Karov Eitzel Atzmo. He is related to himself. He is related to himself. What Rashi is assuming is that the victim is what we call a Baal Davar. He is actually an interested party. Effectively, he is the one who is suing his murderer, so to speak. And that's what many Rishonim assume Rashi means. Sure, Ibn David brings many Rishonim who assume that.
Doesn't about that being a Baal Davar make you not a witness by definition?
No.
You're involved in the case.
He's still alive.
If you're one of the litigants, how can you also be a witness to the
case? So you're arguing, in other words, that a Baal Davar always...
Baal Davar is always excluded from the category of Eidos.
It's an interesting point, but the Reb Chaim has a different... have a different reason to say that that's not what Rashi is saying. Take a look at Source Gimel. This is very sharp. Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye. Rav Papa says to Abaye, Elameata Harug Yatzil. Pirish Rashi. Rashi explained, and he quotes the Rashi that we just read. The next 1.5 lines are all that. So skip that. Ubitam Hadavar. To explain this, Amar HaGrachzal. Mishum delo shayach baal davar ela bedine mamanos. There's no such thing as a baal davar on a capital case, only on a financial case. Abo bezeh in achiyuv misa mipnei shahargo lezeh el mipnei shahavar avera shel ritzicha. He says, why does the guy get capital punishment, the murderer? Why are we killing this guy? Not because he killed so-and-so. This isn't a lawsuit by his victim. It's because he broke the law. You know, in Canada, you would say it's the crown. Right here, I guess it's the state. I don't know, whoever it is. It's the government that is effectively suing the criminal. Mm-hmm. It's not about, right? Like, imagine if you had, correct me if I'm wrong, do we have any criminal lawyers here? No? Okay, so I can say whatever I want. Imagine if you have a guy who murdered somebody, and the family said, we don't want to press charges. Do we just let him off? No, because it's not up to them. The crime was the crime. It's not up to you. So that's Rav Chaim's point.
And in halacha, there's no civil cases for murder. You can't have both.
Correct.
That's
Kimberly Robinet. Yeah. You could try. You can't get anywhere. So then, why is he disqualified here? What's the disqualification here if it's not that he's related to himself as the baal davar? So Tosfos here offers a different suggestion. Tosfos here says it's because he is considered an enemy of the person who attacked him. People, as a general rule, don't like to be executed. That tends to be the case. Medical assistance in dying in Canada notwithstanding, the general rule is people don't want to get killed. So because of that, he is considered a sone of the person who attacked him. And he's disqualified as a witness because an enemy is not allowed to testify. That's Tosus's answer here. Tosus in Sanhedrin, Tesamid Beis, gives Ira's answer. That's why I didn't want you to say it, because Tosus in Sanhedrin says it. He says the guy's a trefa. He's dying, right? That's the whole point. If he's not dying, this case doesn't begin. So because he is dying, that makes him a trefa. So what? So we have a rule regarding Edus. In order for Edus to be valid, it has to be what we call Edus Sha'ata Yochol Hazima. There has to be a possibility that the person who is testifying is going to be found to be an Ed Zomim. So he has to say where it was, when it was, in order that we should be able to have somebody come along and say, you were with us when you say this happened. But if the guy is a trefa, you're never going to be able to bring him up as an Ed Zomim, because he's going to be dead. Satosus in Sanhedrin says it's Edushiyat Yochol Hazima. That's why he would be disqualified, and therefore he would disqualify the set. I'm not entirely clear on that, because a trefa can live up to a year.
Yeah. Also, the Edus is Yochol Hazima. It's just the guy's dead.
Also true.
But Jimmy Carter, he's still alive.
He's still alive.
Hospice care.
It's very important.
How long are you on
palliative care? People can live in hospice for a very long time.
Maybe more than
So the point for us is something disqualifies the victim to testify as an aid, and therefore, if you're telling me that intent is not necessary to become a witness, then he's going to disqualify everybody right then and there. So the Gemara's answer is no, he does disqualify in the event that he saw it. But if he didn't see it because it was from behind, then he's not going to disqualify. That will be the answer. I'm taking the 45 minutes. We started late because of the wrong time that I gave out in the WhatsApp. But we're gonna do our 45. We'll show Schaefer. We can get through an Amud. So that's on the Haru case. But then the Gemara asks, okay, but Nirba Yatzil. So this is one of those cases when you learn Makos with kids. It's like, really? I have to tell this? But you already know what we're talking about with Roveya and Nirba. The guy was molested by somebody else. So also, he should be able to disqualify the set for the same reasons or other reasons which the Rishonim discuss. He's Karov Etzel Atzmo, or he's the enemy of, or whatever it is. So the answer is Kisharavo Me'acharav. No, because again, he was attacked from behind. He didn't see the guy. Okay, fine. But how do you like this? Horeg Viroveya Yatzilu. The worst problem. The criminal disqualifies it. The criminal is a witness. How do you like that one? What about Inna Mesim Atzmo Russia? But the criminal should disqualify the set. So the Gemara says, Ishtik. At that point, they fell silent. They said, you know, we actually have a problem. This is a bona fide problem now. It can't be that you could be part of the set without having intent. So the Ishtik, he's silent. Kiyosla Kamei de Rava comes to Rava. Amarle, he said to him, Yakum Davar. The Pasuk says, on the word of two witnesses, on the word of three witnesses, the matter shall stand. Bimekaime Davar Hakasuv Medaber. So it has to be on the basis of the Mekaimim, meaning only the ones on whose word the matter is upheld. They are the ones who count. That's how it works. Only the Mekaime Davar, which is, as Rashi says, Da'inu Ha'edim Avalo. I can't read the rest words. Ba'osei Hadavar?
Not
the people who were involved. Mekaime Hadavar means witnesses. It doesn't mean Bali Davar. There's no way. In other words, he doesn't believe you need intent. That's the position of Rabbi Yossi. You do not need intent. But there's an automatic disqualification of the people who are involved in the event. They're never, ever going to be considered witnesses, no matter what. That's the idea. Okay. Rabbi Yossi. Pamedvar mamurim. Mayasu shnei achim. So Rabbi Yossi had said that, again, when you're dealing with dine mamanos, the rest of the set stands. Only on capital cases, the rest of the set does not stand. And then Rebbe had his response of, what are you going to do about the two brothers who witnessed the event? So the Gemara asks, when you're talking about this... Sorry?
I just asked one of them to testify. That's the other one to leave the room.
So take a look at what happens here. We need to understand what their intent was. Did they intend to be witnesses or not? So Hechi Amrin Elohu, what exactly do we say to these two would-be witnesses in order to know what they intended? Amar Rava, Hechi Amrin Elohu. Rava says, this is what we tell them. Lemechze Asisu, Ol Isture Asisu. Did you come in order to actually testify, or was it just you wanted to watch? What were you there in order to do? Did you show up in order to see it, or did you show up in order to testify? If they say they came in order to testify, then yeah, if one of them is no good, the whole set's no good. That should not say asu. It should say asinan or something along those lines. In the event that they say we came to see, not in order to testify, mayasu shnei achim be'echad shahara ge'sanefesh. What would happen if you had two brothers see that somebody murdered somebody else? That's the argument we had before. So what's the psak? Let's conclude the sugya. What's the psak? Itmar, Rav Yehuda mer Shmuel, halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda says, quoting Shmuel, the law follows Rabbi Yossi. We do not require the intent. Rabbi Yossi disqualifies the set for capital cases. Rav Nachman amar halacha ki Rabbi. Rav Nachman says, the law follows Rabbi. We apply this rule to both capital and financial cases. Okay? Good.
Shkayach.